Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Research and Development Lab here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is a...
What's going on, man? Tell me.
Study. I can't find who did the study, but it was reported in the New York Times probably a year ago. The world's funniest joke. And they evidently had a website in which people could submit jokes.
Is this in keeping with the New York Times model, the world's funniest joke that's fit to print? Because I'm sure that my funniest joke ain't the same as this.
Oh, no. Well, I didn't recognize any of these jokes. But I thought it interesting that different countries had different kinds of senses of humor.
Yes, oh, yeah.
And so not only did they pick the best joke, which I'll tell you in a second, and it's pretty good.
Hey, I can't wait.
Well, I'll just give you the best one. Two hunters are out in the woods. One of them collapses. He doesn't seem to be breathing, and his eyes are glazed. The other man pulls out his cell phone and calls 911. He says to the operator, "My friend is dead. What can I do?" The operator, in a calm, soothing voice, says, "Relax. Take it easy. I can help you. First of all, let's make sure that he really is dead." There's a silence. Then the gunshot. The guy comes back on the phone. He says, "Okay, now what?" I mean,
that's good.
That's pretty good. But interestingly, it says that Americans liked jokes that made fun of people. For example, one of the favorite jokes in America was this one. The Texan says, "Where are you from?" Harvard graduate says, "I come from a place where we do not end our sentences with prepositions." Texan says, "Okay, where are you from, jerk?" And Australia, now get this. This could tell us everything.
Well, you may. I think a culture's jokes do say a lot.
They do say Australian.
But their outlook.
Woman rushed to see the doctor, looking very worried and all strung out. She says to the doctor, "Doctor, look at me. When I woke up this morning, I looked at myself in the mirror. I saw my hair was all wiry and frazzled. My skin was all wrinkled and pasty. My eyes were bloodshot, bugging out. I had this corpse-like look on my face. What's wrong with me, doctor?" The doctor looks at her and he says, "Well, I can tell you one thing. There's nothing wrong with your eyesight." But, of course, you're right. We would have submitted completely different jokes. And they are a heck of a lot funnier.
But unfit to print, perhaps.
But not fit to print.
Well, if you have a joke for us or a question, even.
How's your eyesight?
That's great.
How do I look?
If you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
No, it's Joe calling from Albany, New York. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi,
Albany.
Hi, Joe.
Not one of the greatest towns in the world, is it?
Well, I don't think that that's quite fair of you to say that. You've never been there in all likelihood.
No, I've been to Albany.
We happen to think it's great.
I mean, I have to say, I never spent a lot of time there. It looked like a kind of dismal city to me as I drove through it.
Well, you were there in the winter, either in September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, or May.
That's right.
Anyway.
So what's up, Joe?
I'm glad you guys are taking my call. About a month ago, I ran my car down to E, to Vapors, and I just barely made it into a gas station. And ever since then, whenever I've tried to fill my gas tank, it takes me about 10 minutes standing out in the rain or the cold or that terrible Albany weather, and it only takes about a third of a gallon at a time. It keeps spitting gas back out of the nozzle at me.
Oh, and the nozzle shuts off.
And the nozzle shuts off.
And you can only put it in very, very slowly.
Very, very slowly.
Is it a Ford Taurus?
No, it's not. It's a 1998 Nissan Altima.
Well, if you owned a Taurus, you wouldn't have this problem. Now, how long has the check engine light been on? Has it been?
No, I haven't had a check engine light.
Really?
No.
Jeez.
You should have.
Well, you know, there's a little valve which allows the tank to vent into the canister.
Okay.
And yours ain't working.
Okay.
And if that isn't working, your tank will take forever to fill up.
But I'm trying to understand why running on empty would have caused this.
Oh, I think it's completely coincidental.
Do you? Oh, no.
I thought maybe some sediment from the bottom of the tank could
have
plugged
something. That's what happened.
In.
Okay. Wait a minute now. So when you practiced, when you came in on fumes, when you filled it up that time, it worked fine?
Yes, it did.
And it wasn't until the next fill-up.
That's correct.
Well, here's what you did that time.
That's good.
You filled it up to the tippity, tippity, tippity top.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did.
And you croaked the valve.
You did.
Yeah, you wanted to make sure that it was a long time before you were on fumes again.
Absolutely.
Ah, so it's not a coincidence.
And that
valve,
which is supposed to allow vapors to pass from the tank into the canister, okay, the evaporative canister, so that you can fill the tank, now got filled up with gasoline.
Okay.
And you
broke
it. And
so vapors can't get
through. So if I jump up and down on the trunk really
hard,
will it loosen it up?
I'm surprised the check engine light hasn't come on. I'm really surprised. But anyway, I would take it to the Nissan dealer and ask them to replace that valve that always breaks that doesn't allow you to fill the tank up. And they'll say, oh, yeah, that one.
That one.
Okay.
And they'll replace it. Otherwise, think how much time you'll never get gas because every time you go, it's going to be such an ordeal that you're going to hate going.
And you know how dreary Albany is.
And we know how dreary. We've been there.
Yeah.
Well, the cold weather's coming, guys, so I guess I'll have to get that done.
Good luck, man.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. I don't know why his check engine light isn't on.
It's got to be on. Maybe the bulb's out. That would be the coincidence.
It's got the black tape over it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Shelley from Timnath, Colorado.
Hi, Shelley. From where?
Timnath.
Timnath.
Right.
Timnath, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Boy, you know, you learn. So where the heck is Timnath, Colorado?
Well, it's outside of Fort Collins.
Okay, we know where that is.
Okay.
No, we don't really. We've heard of it.
Okay.
We don't know where it is. we've heard the name.
Timnath.
Timnath.
Right. Yeah, about 100 people live there.
Oh, 100 people.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't hear of it. Where did our educations fail us?
I don't know.
So what's up?
Are you one of those 100?
No, actually, I live outside of Timnath.
Those are the suburbs.
Those are the suburbs.
In greater Timnath.
No one goes to Timnath anymore. It's too crowded.
So you live in greater Timnath.
Yes, yeah. Greater suburban Timnath.
Suburban.
Right.
All right, anyway, so what's going on?
I have a question. I have a 97 white Ford Explorer with a little problem. A few weeks ago, I was at work and driving to go to lunch, and I had the air conditioner on. And all of a sudden, I heard like that. And I looked over, and on the front passenger side, the air conditioning vent was raining dog food. You know, the crunchy kind.
Doesn't anyone screen the calls?
No.
Can any wacko from any place in the country just...
Dog food's coming out the vent?
Yes, yes. And, you know, so I, you know, thought that was odd. And so I
is this Yukonuba? What do you feed your dog?
Well, I feed him that dry food you get in the big bags that say small crunchy bites.
Thank God you're not feeding him the wet dog food. Wherever you park this thing, you have mice that are getting into your dog food supply.
Uh-huh.
And mice are great at squirreling away. Now, you'd think they would call them squirrels if they were that good at it.
No.
But they're great at squirreling away their food stores.
Well,
so they've chosen to store it in your heating ducts. And what you're hearing is interestingly, it should be called a squirrel cage blower.
Yeah.
Squirrels
are all over this
hitting
story.
Hitting the dog food that the mice have squirreled away in your heating system. So that's going bung 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 bung. I love it.
Yeah, and when you turn the air conditioner off, the dog food doesn't come out unless you hit a bump or a curb or something, and then it does.
Gee, you know this. I mean, this makes perfect sense, but I don't think either of us has ever heard of this happening before. Because well, I mean, there's got to be a lot of stuff in there.
Remember the guy who called us that said the headliner of his truck. He stepped on the brakes, and the headliner
and
50 pounds of
dog food came out and hit him.
Rained down on his head.
But I've never heard of the fan actually lifting it up and throwing it out through the vents.
Well,
that's great.
So you know what you need? Actually, on this vehicle,
it's relatively
easy to do this. Pop the fan, the blower motor, and the fan right out.
Okay.
And when they do that, you can get in there with a
vacuum cleaner. You'll have a 2-week supply of dog food.
Well, my dog does like it. She kind of thinks it's a dog food dispenser.
Oh, yeah, no.
You know?
Yeah.
What kind of a dog do you have?
Well, he's a little mutt, and if he's riding with me and he looks hungry, I just turn on the air conditioner.
And he must be saying, have I died and gone to heaven? And
yeah, yeah.
Spitting out dog food.
Wow, this is like the cotton candy machine at the yeah, carnival.
That's
or
right.
Or the gumball machine.
That's
well,
right.
But you, oh boy. Well, you could just leave this. But I think what you need to do is to secure your dog food.
Right.
You need to, wherever you keep it, in the garage, I guess, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, you need to do something that keeps the mice out.
Okay.
Whatever it takes.
But
okay.
Isn't it silly? I mean, there's the bag open. The mice go in, and they take it out of the bag, and they deliver it someplace else. I mean,
yeah, but they don't know the dog. They don't know that the bag is going to be there forever, because every once in a while the bag gets empty, and they say, oh.
And you think the mice are smart enough to figure that out?
No. I think that wherever they're taking it from, they know that it shouldn't be there.
They know something.
Yeah, they know they're going to put it where it feels good to them.
You know why?
You go to the
dark.
Supermarket.
It's
you,
dark.
Do you eat right out of the push cart? When you're at the supermarket?
Shh.
No.
If you do that, you don't pay for
it. Oh, yeah.
Especially grapes. You can buy 2 pounds of grapes and only pay for like a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, when you get to the cash register, how come you only have 3 grapes?
I do it at Bread and Circus all the time.
You're going to go to jail. Shelly, thanks for your call. Good luck.
Okay.
And lock up that dog food.
Yes, sir. Click.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi. This is Bill from the Homer Spit in Homer, Alaska.
Bill from Homer, Alaska.
Yep.
How you doing?
Just great.
You said Homer Spit?
Homer Spit. You know, this is as far as you can drive in North America. If you ever wondered if you were going to drive west, as far as you could drive west and northwest, you'd end up on the Homer Spit.
And why would I want to do that? I mean, give me
wanted to see where Western civilization ends. You know?
I wanted to go to the point from which I couldn't return unless I turned around and went back the way I came.
We're at latitude 59, and that's as far as you can drive.
Wow.
59.
And what?
59.
Do
north
we dare
latitude.
Ask Bill, what is he doing there?
Well, I have a problem here. You know, like I'm on the Homer Spit, and it's hard to get people to come work, and we do a lot of fish. We upload halibut for the Boston and New York and everywhere.
Ah,
he's feeding us.
Yeah, and I have this forklift. You know, it's been working. It works great. The 64 Clark forklift. It's like so great. It's like the Dodge Dart of forklift.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Clark forklift.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, it's got like I think it's got a flathead Willys engine in it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
really?
It's got a 4-cylinder flathead engine in it.
Wow.
So what's wrong with it now?
Well, the thing is, it's like, you know, like I said, it start, you know, it always starts and runs and everything like that, but at this time of year, like, it's starting to rain more, and so when it gets wet out, it's really hard to start, you know, it's like, you got to keep turning it over, I walk away for 15 minutes, and then it turn it over some more, walk away, and then eventually it'll start, you know, one cylinder will go, you know, and then eventually it takes off, you know.
Yeah, when was the last time you changed the points?
The points, like about 2 years ago.
2 years? How much do you run this thing?
Oh, every day.
Every day?
For
a couple hours a day.
Yeah.
And you haven't replaced the points for 2 years?
Yeah.
Well, they're on order.
Oh, there we go. The points. Okay, cool.
Well, I would think the points and the condenser.
Condenser, cool.
Yeah, I would start with those two things. And
well, I mean, it's got to need everything. If you've run it that long, it's going to need points, condenser, rotor, cap, wires, the whole thing.
I mean, when the points are burned up, like yours probably are.
Yeah.
Under ideal conditions, you need the very smallest of sparks to get the thing to run. You turn the key and boom.
Yeah.
On a bright sunny day, it fires right up and you say, boy, all is right with the world.
You got it.
And the fish are like jumping onto the thing.
You got it.
And the cotton is high.
Yeah, that's why I love it. That's me.
But when it's damp out, you're losing a lot of the spark to the bad wires that you undoubtedly have, too. So as the electricity travels from the distributor to the spark plugs, what's happening is some of it is jumping off to, you know, God knows where. So you're getting a weaker spark at the cylinders.
Uh-huh.
So I would suggest that you change the points of condenser. If you can get your hands on a set of spark plug wires, you may want to change them, too.
I'm going to do the whole thing there.
I would do the whole thing.
I would splurge. I mean, don't forget, Your very life depends on this thing, Bill. Without this, you're done for.
And, oh, I know the whole thing—the food chain, the boats, there, everybody.
Yeah, we'll go to Legal Seafood, and they're going to give us—they're going to give us beans.
Oh, they'll feed you good there.
Well, they won't if they don't have any fish. So catch those fish and fix this thing, will you? Get out right on it.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks
Anytime.
For your call.
Send us Bye-bye. A card.
Well, you got it. I'll bring it with me. I'll come in there in March. I'll bring one with me.
All right. Just put a stamp on it and mail it to us. See you later.
Okay.
Bye. All right, look, before we answer last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break. Is that okay with you?
Me? Sure. Why?
Well, because I wouldn't want to do anything without your expressed consent.
Since when is this?
Well, since now. I usually just jump right into stuff without asking you, and I thought it would be nicer to include you in the important decisions from now on.
Well, I like it, and I appreciate the consideration.
Is it all right now if I call you a knucklehead and insult you for not remembering the puzzler?
No. Permission denied.
All right. Well, then I'll just remind everybody else that the puzzler was about a vagabond sharing some loaves of bread with a pair of travelers. You don't remember it, do you?
No.
I didn't think so. Knucklehead. We'll be right back with the answer and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
I heard a crash on the highway. I knew what it was from the start. I went to that scene of destruction. This picture was stamped on my heart. It was whiskey and blood run together, all mixed with the glass where they lay. Death played her hand in destruction, but I didn't hear nobody pray.
And even though all the creamers in the NPR fridge simultaneously curdle whenever we say it, this is NPR National Public Radio.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from my Loaves and No Fishes series, and it was inspired by a puzzler sent in by a fellow named Tom Nyman. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
All right, pay attention now, because I know you didn't last week. A lost and hungry vagabond happened upon a pair of travelers, one of whom had three loaves of bread, while the other had five.
What were they? Ciabatta? Brioche? I mean, set the scene for us
here. It doesn't matter what they were. They were all the same size and weight.
All right, let's call them baguettes.
Fine.
I like baguettes.
So one traveler has three baguettes and the other traveler has five.
I think the imagery of that is much better.
I'm glad you approve it. This is a bad idea. Anyway, they decide to share their loaves with the hungry vagabond. So the three are going to share these eight loaves equally.
That's very nice of the travelers.
Yes, it was. It was.
I'd like to know this vagabond's approach so I can use it.
Good idea. Well, look, when they had all finished, the vagabond reached into his pocket and pulled out eight coins. He handed three coins to the traveler who had had the three loaves and five coins to the other traveler and then disappeared into the inky shadows.
Oh, you didn't tell me this was an inky shadows puzzler.
Well, it's not. It's a baguette puzzler now, I guess. Anyway, the next morning, right after no breakfast, the one who had received the three coins said to the other one, "I don't think he should have given three coins to me and five to you. It's not fair."
Ooh.
And he was right. The question is, how should the coins have been split up? Well, each of the three men ate an equal amount, right?
Yeah.
Eight loaves, right? So each of them ate 2 2/3 loaves.
Exactly.
The traveler who started with three loaves ate 2 2/3 loaves too.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In fact, he ate most of his own bread and contributed only 1/3 of a loaf to the vagabond.
Yeah.
The other guy, the one who had the five loaves to start off with, well, he also ate 2 2/3 loaves and contributed 2 1/3 loaves to the hungry traveler.
Yeah.
So that's how the coin should have been divided in the ratio of 7/3, right?
Yeah.
Or 2 1/3 to 1/3 or 7 to 1. So the guy who said the division was not fair was right. Okay? In fact, he should have received only one coin.
Yeah.
While the other guy received 7 coins.
Exactly.
Do we have a winner?
Our winner this week is Sarah Taylor from Marlboro, Massachusetts. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Sarah's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a copy of our brand new CD of disrespectful car music called Stairway to Heepdom.
This is a follow-up to Born Not to Run. Anyway, Stairway to Heepdom includes such future classics as The Mechanic's Shrug, Sexy Volvo.
Now, there's a contradiction in terms.
And the ever-popular 90-pound housewife driving her SUV. All of the most requested songs you've heard between segments here on Car Talk.
Well, congratulations, Sarah, for being this week's Puzzler winner.
We'll have a brand new Puzzler in the third half of today's show, so don't put on the noise-canceling headphones just yet. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kelly calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Kelly. Do you have an E or a couple of E's?
It's just a Y.
Okay.
I have a 1979 Mercedes 350 SD turbo diesel, and in the past few months, she's been leaking liquid from above the gas pedal. I notice it doesn't happen on the highway, but only when I'm going up or down a little dip or valley.
And is it like a slippery liquid?
Yeah, it's a little oily, and I've smelled it and tasted it.
Oh.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a smell, and it tastes like water. You know, it doesn't really have a taste.
Oh.
Jeez.
Well, it can only be one of two things, and I
if
think
it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it must be transmission fluid.
No,
it can't be. No, it's water.
No, I don't think so. Only because you said it was oily, and
yeah,
my brother missed that.
I missed that.
He missed that because he was dozing.
No, I was busy running my mouth.
Busy running your mouth.
But, so it's oily.
It can only be antifreeze or brake fluid.
Uh-oh.
And I think it's brake fluid.
Uh-oh.
I think the antifreeze would have a distinctive taste.
It would taste sweet.
Hmm.
And by the way, it's a deadly poison, but that's...
Yeah, so don't do the test too often.
Okay.
Well, brake fluid doesn't have much of a taste, although...
I've never really had a good shot of it myself.
Oh, I've had... You haven't?
Is it like Sambuca?
I never made you one of those brake fluid high colonics. Oh, God. Well, I don't see this car has power brakes, and all the lines are on the other side of the firewall.
I know. That's why I'm having trouble.
I don't see any way that brake fluid could get into the passenger compartment.
I don't either.
Yeah, that would...
I mean, in terms of what it really ought to be, it ought to be antifreeze.
Okay.
Because the antifreeze is there. It's got a chance to get to drop on your dip on your feet, maybe.
Here's what you should do. Mm-hmm. You should feel antifreeze. You know, take the radiator cap off and stick your finger in there and rub the stuff between your fingers. And you can do the same thing also with your brake fluid, although I doubt that that's what it is, and see which one most closely compares to your sample.
Okay, and there's nothing I need to do about it, though.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Because it's leaking. Mm. The car is old enough that who knows what the cooling system looks like. It might be all rotted away.
Yeah.
In which case, it's probably going to cost you $3,000 or $4,000 to fix it.
Oh, don't tell me that. No.
Check your brake fluid. Make sure it's not low.
Okay.
Check the antifreeze. Make sure it's not low.
Okay.
And then you should tell someone you're pretty sure you got an antifreeze leak under the dash.
Okay. Great.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right,
Thank
Kelly.
You.
See you.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Nikki, and I'm calling from Framingham, Mass.
N-I-K-I?
N-I-K-K-I.
Two okay. K's.
From Framingham.
Yep. I got a problem with my 93 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo.
Okay.
It makes a funny noise when I have the car fully loaded and I take a left-hand turn. In the back of the car near the right tire, it makes this loud bong noise.
Ah, man!
But I've had it checked and it's not my shocks or my struts or anything like that.
Well, my brother, we received recently a book. You know, frequently we have troubles figuring out people's problems, and we've thought for a while that we should have some kind of a computer system.
Well, people always ask us, when you do the show, do you have like a computer in front of you? And when people ask a question, you just type in a couple of keywords and you get all these answers?
And the answer is no, we don't, because we're too stupid to type and talk at the same time. So we don't, but we do have this little handbook.
Do we know who sent it? Oh, here it is. It's a guy named Bob Dickey.
It's about the same size as the little black book that you would have carried.
Okay.
Exactly, like a little address book. And the title is Trouble Facts Reveals All Auto Troubles at a Glance.
Really?
So my brother's going to consult this book.
This book was published in 1922. Here it is, the symptom. Knock in rear end of car.
Yep.
Oh, it's perfect.
Okay.
Not only does it tell you what it is, but it gives you a roadside remedy. Are you ready for this?
Wonderful. Hit me.
In case a knock develops in the rear end of the car,
yeah,
it will most likely be found that the trouble is in the differential.
Okay.
Maybe one or more teeth is broken off. Roadside remedy, and I'm sure, Nikki, that you want to do this.
Oh, God.
Take off the cover of the differential housing.
We'll explain to you how to do that in a minute.
Take off cover of... This is a roadside remedy. I mean, people wouldn't even do this in the garage. Take off cover of differential housing, clean out the oil and other accumulations.
Weld new teeth onto...
Weld new teeth onto gears and drive away happily.
You mean don't turn up radio and just keep going?
No, it's not your differential, so you can rest easy.
So it's when you have the thing loaded.
When I have it totally loaded.
And when you hear the noise, is it one loud noise or is it a sequence of noises?
It's one loud bomb.
Irrespective of the speed?
Yeah, irrespective of the
Does
speed.
Does the Cherokee have leaf springs?
No.
Coils?
I think it has coils. That's a good question.
Isn't
this
that a good
Grand
question?
Cherokee?
Yep.
Grand Cherokee.
Jeez, I don't know what it has in the back.
See, if it had coil springs... That would answer it.
My coil springs go bong.
I don't think it does, though. How? See, wait, maybe the book has.
Yeah.
This book was...
Look at the appendix.
Right, 1992. Let's see if it...
I would go for the errata sheet.
The introduction to the second edition. the 62nd
edition.
Well,
I'm fairly confident in saying that it's probably nothing serious. It's only because you have... push the suspension to its limit,
okay.
So to speak. It could be that one of the springs is making the noise, and then when the thing is loaded in its normal fashion, that the noise goes away because you're not forcing it.
Okay.
I would take it back to the shop that looked at it.
Uh-huh.
And ask them to take a look. First of all, find out if it has coil springs in the back.
Okay.
And if it does, have him take a look at both of them. It probably is the right one.
Okay.
They can sort of simulate this, because if you know it's happening on a left turn,
mm-hmm.
they can jack up the left side of the back end of the vehicle.
Okay.
And that'll simulate taking a left turn.
Oh, okay.
And then they can, like, push on it and see if something happens.
All right.
Tell them you're serious and you want to just take a look at
it. Tell them you'll pay this time.
Yeah, that might help.
Yeah. And don't forget my brother's suggestion. Bring brownies.
Yeah, that works. Okay.
Yeah, actually, you know what's good, too? This time of year, like...
Carrot cake?
Pumpkin cake.
Oh.
Pumpkin cake.
Pumpkin
yes.
pie.
Yes, we in the automotive repair industry.
Okay.
Like our pumpkin cake.
Yeah. And if it's a chilly day, which it's going to be any minute now... a little hot cider wouldn't be bad in the thermos.
Oh, I'm going to bring a whole picnic basket.
Mulled cider.
Mulled cider.
See you, Nikki.
Thank you very
a mechanic's
much.
Favorite everywhere.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Zach, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Zach. What's going on, man?
Well, this is kind of the interface between testosterone and automobiles. And I think there's a bit of a problem occurred. Well, let me explain. I have this 2001 Chevy Suburban, I have to park this car on my driveway, which is sort of under a canopy of trees.
Under a spreading chestnut tree, maybe?
No, not exactly. It's sort of like junky pine trees and surrounded by dirt bikes. And, you know, sap and various junk from the trees came on the car, and I've been trying to keep it clean because this stuff sort of turns like hardened glue and moves.
Oh, yeah.
So I did this really stupid thing. So I go out to wash the car, and I wash it with the regular soft type of brush or handheld thing. And then the sap type stuff wouldn't come off. It was pretty hardened on there. Yeah, it's been hot down here and baked it on
I see it now, a Brillo pad.
Well, hold on.
No, it could be worse. He said testosterone.
Well, so
took a belt sander to it.
Go ahead, Zach.
Well, so basically you get the gist of it. We went to increasingly abrasive items and finally got to, now it was not a Brillo brand, but it was the type that was sort of like multiple thousands of uses that I thought, well, maybe this is kind of soft enough.
I know. Was it green? The little green pad?
Yeah, the green pad.
That's
the green
too
pad.
Bad.
Oh, man.
So what happened is I didn't do the whole car, thankfully. I just did a couple of areas, and one area is about the size of a halfway to between a basketball and softball, and one's about the size of a softball, maybe, where the clear coat is completely off.
And, of course, it's like right on the door, right?
Around the gas tank, so I get to see it about every few days.
Oh, you had to start getting in the other side of the car. Sliding across the seat. Jeez. How long did it take you to figure out what you were doing, and what were the first words out of your mouth?
Well, this is not something I would want to say on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm sure you know by now, but if you don't, we'll tell you and whoever else is listening and interested that there are chemicals you can buy called the bug and tar remover, for example, which is a liquid that basically is a solvent that takes the stuff off in like a second.
And it will not leave big, ugly scratches.
Yeah, unless you take it off with Brillo.
Yeah. No, yeah. That it's water under the bridge or over the dam or whatever.
Whatever.
Because now the question is, you've done it already. I mean, that doesn't help to tell you now what to do.
Well, if you're lucky, and I don't, do you really know that you did you remove the clear coat? That's hard to do, by the way.
Well, I can't tell you for sure, except that when you run your hand across the car, it feels different.
It does.
Well, you may have just rubbed off the shine on the clear coat, you know, the top layer.
Did you try waxing the area to see?
Oh, of course he did. Are you kidding?
It didn't help.
Did not help.
No, you need to have it buffed out.
Yeah.
If you take it to a body shop, and who are you going to blame for this one?
Yeah.
Tell them your kids did it.
I see.
Yeah,
I see. Actually, I have a body shop man has done many, Morris, who's done a tremendous amount of work on my various, I've had four Suburbans, and he's done work on all the different cars over the many years.
Oh, well, the worst case scenario is that he sands the whole quarter panel down and he shoots the whole thing again, which is maybe what you need.
Oh.
And if you're lucky, before he gets around to doing it, you might get hit by, like, a city bus. and they'll pay for it.
And it will all be covered by your insurance.
But if he can't buff it out, then there's no remedy save painting it.
Okay.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
But, I mean, the vehicle is new enough that you really shouldn't have to look at this for the rest of its life.
Oh, no, you know why? I mean,
you got to get it.
You'll begin to hate the thing.
And you'll begin to hate yourself. Your self-esteem will keep getting lower and lower.
Next thing you know,
you'll be in the depths of depression.
Next thing you know, you'll stop shaving.
You'll stop shaving.
Your hair will
grow long.
You'll
stop wearing sweatpants to work.
You won't shower. You look just like Tommy.
Well, I was just going to say, I already do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, well, it'll get worse.
Well, guys, thank you very much.
All right, Zach. See you later.
Sorry for your pain.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, look, it's time for us to take our contract-mandated coffee break.
Boy, we really stuck it to NPR management this year, didn't we? Two coffee breaks in less than an hour.
What are you talking about? They were insisting on three. Anyway, when we come back, we'll have a new puzzler from my emergency services series.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
Well, it's not really. We'll also have more of your car questions, so don't go anywhere.
We'll be back in a minute.
Down in Dallas, near the palace, I met a guy who was so cute. I loved his hugging and his kissing as we sat in his little red coupe. He said, tell me confidentially, how much do you love me? Well, I thought a while and then I smiled. and don't you see? I love you, honey. I love your money. I love your automobile. I love you, baby. I don't mean maybe. You're the sweetest thing on wheels. I love your kisses. I wouldn't miss them. No matter how I feel. I love you, honey. I love your money. But most of all, I love your automobile.
And even though the NPR elocution coach sobs into her chamomile tea whenever she hears us say it, this really is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
Here it is. I want you to pay careful attention because there are a lot of superfluous, unnecessary facts.
As though we didn't know that already.
And the like.
Talk about an unnecessary disclaimer. Don't worry. We knew that.
Here it is. This old guy is driving home. It's late at night. He's driving home from a vacation, in fact. He's been out of town. And he's pay attention.
Forgive me if I snicker when I hear an extraneous fact. Go ahead.
And he's bebopping along the highway, and he's some considerable distance from home, and he feels himself having a heart attack. He says, oh, my God, it's the big one. So thinking quick.
Does he call to Elizabeth?
He doesn't call Elizabeth, but he thinks he's got to get off the highway, so he takes the first available exit, knowing not where it will take him.
Oh, I like it already.
And as luck would have it, he winds up in a residential neighborhood. It's very late at night, and he pulls over to the side of the road behind some parked cars. And he sits there, and he's fading fast. But he has the presence of mind to pull out his cell phone, and he calls 911. Of course, his car is completely stopped.
Yeah.
You know, before he makes a cell phone call.
Of course.
And he says to the person at the other end, the dispatcher, I need help. I'm having a heart attack.
And she says, where are you? He says, how the hell should I know?
He says, I don't know. He said, but I'm fading fast. I need help. And she says, what exit did you take? I don't remember. Were you going north or south or east? I don't remember any of that. Can you tell me what street you're on? He says, I'm in the middle of the block. I'm parked. I didn't see any street signs. She says, oh. You're screwed.
You got no chance.
She says, I got it. She said, you're in a residential neighborhood. Start blowing the horn. And someone will come out of the house. So he sits there and he blows the horn. Nothing. She says, can you possibly drive your car to the intersection and give me the names of the intersecting streets? He says, I can't do it.
Wow.
She then asks him to do one more thing.
And it saves his life.
Minutes later, an ambulance is on its way there and saves his life.
Wow.
And the question is, what did she ask him to do? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a postcard or on the title page of a leather-bound, silk-lined, individually autographed, mint-condition first edition of Moby Dick.
Dick, especially. Yeah, all right.
Just Moby Dick. We don't want anything else.
No other mint-conditioned
No other Melville works will suffice.
Yeah.
And send it to...
Don't give us like a Gutenberg thing or anything like that.
No Gutenberg. We don't want no stinking Gutenberg Bibles. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. Right?
What a puzzler.
And if you have a question, by the way, or better still, an answer, you can reach us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Pam Baker from Vancouver, Washington.
Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah.
That's an interesting combination of names, huh?
Oh, yeah.
If you were just a few miles north, you could be from Vancouver, Vancouver.
There you go.
What's up, Pam?
Well, I have a lovely 1986 Toyota Tercel.
Ah, you do, huh?
Really?
Yeah. In the mornings, as you start it up, it sounds fine. You start driving. Within 5 minutes, the car is roaring something like, within 10 to 15 minutes, or if you're at the coffee hut trying to get your coffee for the morning, the car is
screaming.
Full, yes.
Sounds like some angry cats.
Take it easy, Pam. Lighten up.
I'm trying to dig around in the car, acting like I'm trying to look for change or whatever, because I'm getting dirty looks. Like, people are thinking I'm revving my engine at them, like, you know.
Like you want to race them.
Yeah.
And if you're driving, is the car sort of lurching and slowing down and lurching and slowing down?
No, not at all.
Okay, and then so you drive it to the coffee place.
Yeah.
You turn the thing off. You go in and get your coffee.
Well, I go to one of these little drive-through things.
Oh, okay.
So I don't ever turn the car off.
So you have to say, yeah, give me a large black coffee with two sugars.
Right. But if I do turn it off, if I crank it back up within, you know, minutes of turning it off, it still has the beginnings of the roar.
Right, right, right. And then what happens? You drive it to work?
Then I drive it to work, and then if I come back in the...
And it does it all the way to work?
It does it all the way, and it's so loud.
Which is how far? How long does it take you to get to work?
About 20 minutes.
Mostly in town.
Mostly in town, yes.
And this has been doing it for how long?
13 years.
We've only had the car for about 3 years. And it didn't do it for the first two and a half years. So this has maybe been about 6 months now.
Yeah, and you haven't had anyone look at this?
No. Yeah,
well, we had somebody look. My husband had somebody look at it, and he came back, said, I paid the guy $50, and he said that he adjusted the...
idle speed.
Idle, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure what's wrong with your car is that you have a sticky secondary throttle in your carburetor.
I knew you were going to say that.
This thing this has a two-barrel carburetor.
Right.
And the throttle sticks in the open position. And that's enough to make the thing scream like crazy. And the reason it has been sticking is that the car is not driven on the highway enough.
Oh.
So that secondary throttle is supposed to open only during high-speed operation.
Right.
And if you drive the car infrequently on the highway, the few times that you do get it up to high speed, that throttle opens up and it doesn't ever close because it's all gummed up with varnish. So someone needs to take the carburetor, maybe apart, but maybe not. They may be able to spray carburetor cleaner into that secondary throttle area and around the linkage especially, and work that linkage until that throttle is nice and free and the problem will go away.
And how much does something like that cost?
Oh, nothing.
You
know, it might
your husband could even play around with it himself.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
It might take someone an hour to do it, so you might expect to pay $50 or so.
But this is the kind of a job that a husband would love to do on a Saturday.
Especially if you can get them out of things like vacuuming
exactly.
And leaf raking.
Or driving to the mall.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll go down to the parts store, he'll buy a can of carburetor cleaner, and he'll spray his little life away there under the hood. And who knows, he may improve it at least.
And he needs to find the secondary throttle. It's the one that doesn't move when you step on the gas pedal.
Okay.
When he looked down the throat of the carburetor, he would see two throttle plates. One is actuated by...
A throttle plate is a little round disc.
A round
disc? Yeah, well, if he doesn't know what a throttle plate is, then he should take it someplace.
I think we'd better take it someplace.
Yeah, you know he's a dummy. I know. That's all right, Pam.
Okay.
Have him take it someplace, but that's what they need to fix.
Okay.
The guy might be a brain surgeon. How do you know? That doesn't mean he's a dummy. Just because he doesn't know what the inside of a carburetor looks like doesn't make the guy a dummy, for God's sakes.
Pam.
Yes.
Never mind. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-782-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is John. I'm calling from Silver Spring, Maryland. And
hi, John.
Is it Spring or Springs?
No S.
Silver Spring, yes. One spring.
One right. Spring.
Poor guys.
Leaf or coil? Yeah. What's up, John?
I have a 94 Dodge Caravan that has developed a strange noise.
Just? What do you mean just?
Just now?
You mean a strange new noise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I guess about, 6,000 miles ago or so, it started making a chirping sound that happens every 11 seconds, or thereabouts anyway.
Oh, man. Aren't you good?
It's strange because it doesn't always do it. And, in preparation for trying to call you guys up, I was trying to figure out, okay, what exactly causes this to do it? And I thought for a while it only did it when it's warmed up. And the other day I hopped in the car and it was doing it immediately.
So does this happen while you're driving, or did you measure the 11 seconds when you were standing still with the engine running?
It doesn't seem to do it when I'm standing still. It seems to do it only when I'm cruising. And it actually seems louder at higher speeds, like 65 to 75 miles an hour.
But if you're doing 50 miles an hour, is it still 11 seconds?
Pretty much, yeah. It does not change with speed.
Just one chirp.
One chirp.
Burp. One chirp.
Burp. That's it. It's just a burp.
Yeah, it's like a little chit.
While we're working on that, just so you won't be sitting there doing nothing, I have a similar problem in my house. Sometimes, and it doesn't always happen, I turn on the water in the kitchen sink. I shut the water off. And then I hear a noise, get this, in the ceiling.
Oh, that's bad.
Sounds like, it sounds, chirping, it's not a chirp, it's a thunk. And it goes, dunk, dunk, dunk. And it'll do it maybe 10, 12 times.
Get out of that house.
Get out. Okay, get out of that car.
Deal.
So you work on that problem, and I'll work on yours.
Here's what I think it is.
I don't have a show called House Talk, guys.
Well, you may. Here's what
you have an idea already?
Yeah.
Well, I have an idea, but I know my mind stinks, and I'm embarrassed to even mention it, but you're not.
Never bothered me.
Am I right about that?
No, I'm not. When I give you the answer, you're going to say, Frank, you're a bleeding genius.
Really?
Well, there are a few gray areas.
I'm going to hold back on my ideas.
But this is so powerful as to sweep aside those small little inconsistencies that might creep into any argument against
it. And it'll reduce all incredulity to zero.
To zero.
All right, I'm prepared.
I think the problem, the noise is coming from the air conditioner compressor, which will cycle on and off.
It does it regardless of whether the AC is on or off.
I told you it required considerable courage on my part.
Yeah, to believe that the compressor is running when the air conditioner is on. I can go along with that. I can live with that.
All right.
See, my thoughts were different. I immediately eliminated everything rotational. And I came to heat. You with me? Help me. Help you.
I'm with you. Oh, God, I'm with you.
Help me on
this. Yeah, you won't catch me going, ball, Gus.
All right, help me on this. The 11 seconds, I will admit, is a challenge. But when things heat up, they expand. And sometimes they make noises. If he had not mentioned the 11 seconds and simply said there was an occasional chirping.
The first thing I would have come up with was a loose heat shield on the catalytic.
Exactly. Computer. And that is exactly what I'm thinking. But I can't make it come out to be 11 seconds.
Yeah.
But if he hadn't mentioned the 11 seconds.
Yeah, what'd you do that for, man? You ruined everything.
Well, it was killing me. I was on a road trip to Florida, and I had nothing to do but count how often it happened.
What, you don't have a radio? You should have been listening to some Sleepy LaBeef on the way down to Florida.
So, see, that's why I said I was embarrassed at my answer, and I wasn't going to mention it. But after yours, I figured everything was fair game. We never asked you, where do you think this sound is coming from?
I was convinced that it was coming from the rear of the car. But,
see, that would have. I wish you had said that because it would have saved both of us, all three of us, in fact, a lot of embarrassment.
Considerable face.
The thing is, when you turn your head, though, I mean, it sounds like it comes from the front or beneath the, right beneath the floor or something.
See, this is tough. I mean,
have you taken it anywhere?
I've talked to my mechanic about it, and he said he heard the noise but couldn't really figure it out. He wanted me to bring it back.
Did he give you the mechanic shrug? Well, you've given us a lot to think about, John, and we don't think we're going to forget about you the second we hang up.
Right. So it'll take us at least 5 seconds to
but
forget.
Thanks
about
for calling, Bill. And if we think of anything, we'll get right back to you.
Well, you know, you can visit our website, and you will have, I bet you, 1,000 people who send in emails that know exactly what your problem is.
Oh, cool.
Go to our website, cartalk.com, and you say, this is really, I got a couple of lousy opinions already. And you might, in fact, get someone who's had the problem.
What? That sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't it?
John, we'll work on it.
See you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
I don't think we've ever been stuck for no answers that worked.
The AC answer was so good.
No, it wasn't. It stunk. It doesn't satisfy the 11-second criterion.
Oh, sure it does. It happens all the time, especially if there's not enough juice in the thing. It'll cycle on, go off, cycle on, go off, cycle on, go off. And that would it would all fit. Not enough freon, not enough lubrication. You get that little chirp when the thing starts up. It's beautiful.
The sound, I have to say, is exactly right.
It was elegant. And I felt...
You felt quite...
I felt a euphoria.
And he shot you down before you even could finish thought.
Like a rabid dog.
Happens without the air conditioner on. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, didn't even let me down easy.
Yeah.
Jerk. I know Cronin put him up to that anyway. Probably a buddy of hers. While it's happened again, you've squandered one of your precious few hours of downtime listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey this week is the lovely Catherine Frau Blücher Fenolosa, who's covering for Doug the Old Gray Mare, who's spending this week learning how to digest 100% lactose diet. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Boca Raton, rare T-bone, baked ham bone, Toblerone, champignon, panettone, saucisson, bourguignon, mascarpone, and organically grown kidney stone, dine alone, table grown, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. My brother's official co-pilot is Yvette DePence. Our PR specialist is Hugh Lyons. Sack. Our pet shop inventory manager is Arthur Katzenbach. The director of our Alpine Choir is Leo Leahy. Our long-distance cycling enthusiast is Major Ashburn. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Then the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the busloads of blue-haired leaf peepers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 940, tiptoe through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Or if you prefer, you can call the Shameless Commerce Division for Car Talk gifts at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we're almost through the first decade of the new millennium, and that can only mean one thing.
That we truly are a forgotten line in NPR's budget.
No, it's time to review the best and worst cars of the decade.
Well, I know the worst car. Whatever you putted in here with today.
No. The cars on this list had to be produced in the last decade.
Oh, it doesn't include cars that decomposed in the last decade.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Check out the whole list, best and worst of the last decade, all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the entire Shackleton expedition votes to spend another winter in Antarctica whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.